Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Folks, as SP3 mentioned, we have a guest right at the top of the show here. You know him from Baron Corbin in WWE. You know him from tapping out people on the jiu-jitsu mat, Tom Pestick. You know him from MLW, one half of the MLW Tag Team Champions, Bishop Dyer. We had Donovan Dijak, his tag team partner, on the show yesterday. He is here joining us today. He's scheduled to be part of MLW Fightland on September 13th. He's technically from a rival morning show, so we might have to have a discussion about that. But he is the one, the only, Bishop Dyer. Bishop, how you doing?
What's up? Rival morning show. We're starting out hot, huh?
Yeah. We have a bit on the show. We know LaGreca. We're friendly with LaGreca, I guess. I don't know how much.
If you want to take him down, I'll let it happen.
Oh, okay. All right. You're on our side of this? Yeah, listen, we like that.
I like people starting fires. So if you want to get on him, feel free. There was a day we were doing the show and I thought he was going to get attacked by a bear. And I was like, I just hope it's on video. He had to run out and rescue his wife from a legit bear outside his house. And I was like, oh, I hope he gets eaten. But he didn't. He survived.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. Yeah, we have a saying that we're better than Busted Open. So we got a little rivalry with the morning show.
I approve.
On here. Oh, I approve. Like that.
Competition makes things better.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, you're welcome on the show all the time now, Corbin. You want to host the weekend show?
I'm game. Let's go. I have fun with this, dude. And the Constable of Happiness keeps making me laugh. Because originally where they're like, hey, you're going to be the Constable of Raw. And I was like, what the hell is that?
How did they pitch that to you?
Basically like that. They just said, you're the new Constable of Raw. And I go, okay, what does that mean? They're like, well, you're going to kind of like ride Kurt's coattails and give him trouble. And I was like, well, what is a constable? I'd never heard of it or seen one. And then I was in Texas like a month later and I saw a car go by that said constable. And I was like, this is a real thing? I thought they were lying to me. I almost like stopped the guy. I was like, hey, pull over. What do you do? Tell me about it. But it didn't. It would have been funny though.
Do some background work on what a constable actually is and what they do. I got to get in character for this. Yes, so please tell me everything that goes into this.
Do I get a gun? No, you don't. You get a notebook and a badge. Okay. Or in my case, you got like a sweater vest.
Yeah, you got the TGI Applebee's. Fridays.
Yeah, TGI. Yes. By the way, here's a good little sidetrack for you. So Finn Balor's the one that made fun of the TGI Fridays vest.
Yeah.
TGI Fridays sent me a $500 gift card.
Really?
I was like, yo, I just got boneless wings for life. Thanks a lot. I'll wear this vest everywhere.
That's a good get off of all of that.
Right? You made a funny joke, and I won.
Right. I got to ask you, we don't talk a whole lot of wrestling on this show, surprising for a wrestling morning show. So I do have to ask you this. You know, we know you're a Chiefs fan. We know you're in the Kelce suite. Are you getting the invite? Are you getting the invite to the wedding?
To the wedding? Yeah. It's so funny. When he got engaged, I had like 30 people be like, yo, if you're going, I'm going with you. And I'm like, first of all, none of you are going with me. Especially because after that, like when you had the weird people being like, dude, what does she smell like? And I'm like, do you think I was smelling her? Like, what is wrong with you? Who knows? I highly doubt it. If I was them, and I'm just guessing, and I talked to Travis last week, actually, because we were talking about his restaurant opening, because he was wanting me to come out and eat. And I was like, I can't. I'm in Kansas City this weekend, but I won't be back for a few months. So I'll have to go eat there when it's done. But it's him and Mahomes opened a steakhouse in Kansas City, and it's going to be awesome. I should have said yes, too, by the way, because the invites they sent out were these, like, old-school footballs stamped with the restaurant logo. And I was like, damn it, that would have been cool to have. But I didn't. I'm dumb. But if I was them, I bet they'd have, like, a super small wedding. Because think about how many friends both of them have.
Yeah.
Like, what's your venue going to be, Arrowhead? Because like that's the level. I mean, they're both so famous and have so many friends that they would have to invite legit a billion people.
The tables at that wedding are going to be insane, though. Sabrina Carpenter here, and then Xavier Worthy. You might be at that table as well. Like, what kind of you know, just mingling is going on here?
It would be insane. And I'm dumb, and I don't know a lot of people like in that world of like I'm famous. For example, we were in Vegas this weekend when I was fighting in Masters, and my wife and I had a near death experience in the sauna that we were unprepared for. Hilarious. They were like, they're going to put on a towel show in the sauna, and I was like, okay, it's a cool spa. It's going to be like. They're going to dance with towels. No, it was like hot yoga at a billion degrees. I seriously was like, I'm not going to survive this. It's so hot. I'm not built for this. Hilarious. And so after we're like, let's go get a juice. Like we're rejuvenated after our sweating out 95 pounds. And we go up and they have like a private event in the juice area. And they were like, no, you can't come in. But I got lucky and saw a friend of mine that was running it. I had no idea it was there. And he's like, yeah, come in. And then afterwards, a bunch of like friends were like, yo, you were standing next to this person and this person. I go, who are they? They're like, oh, they're super famous. I'm like, I have no idea. They were like DJs and rappers and like I just people. And like someone, one of them's like Kardashian's best friend in the whole world or something. So my wife's friend was like, you were next to him. And I was like, oh, I saw it. He had a cool watch on. I don't know. Outside of that, I'm unaware.
Healthy amount of no self-awareness.
Yes. In my opinion, yes. Yeah. Now, if you got like the original Freddy Krueger standing there, I'm like, yo, I played Freddy Krueger. Outside of that, no, sorry.
These influencers and stuff nowadays.
Yeah. Like, I'm so far out of the game.
Yeah, I can't tell. I got a bunch of kids and the music they listen to, like, have you heard of this? I was like, absolutely not. I don't know what's going on with these people.
I'm going to separate this and I'm probably going to use way more of your guys' time than you want because I just like to chat.
No, you're not. You can stay as long as you want to.
So you have kids. How many?
The kayfabe number is 12.
Okay.
It's not actually 12, but that's the kayfabe number.
I like it. Let's go with it.
I got twins.
You got twins. Okay, so I have two daughters, and they're very young. They're 6 and 3. But I've been introduced to the world of Labubus. Have you heard of these?
I've heard of it, yeah. My daughter started getting into that.
Yeah, apparently it's like the new hot toy for kids, and it's a little doll with teeth showing.
Yeah.
And they're harder to get than anything I've ever tried to source. It's like... Everywhere is sold out. PopSmart is sold out. My kids are like, well, my 6-year-old, she's like, I need one. Everybody has one at school. And I'm like, well, where did they find them? Because I can't find them. Like, this is impossible. So keeping up even with kids' fads, you're like, what am I doing? It's like, I felt like when I was a child and my mom was collecting Beanie Babies. That's what I feel like this is. I feel like this is the Beanie Baby thing. It's just going to end up in a box.
Yeah, if anybody wants any Beanie Babies, my grandma bought like literally everyone in existence, and now we just have like 18 totes of just Beanie Babies. Like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, my mother did the same thing, and every time my kids visit, they come home with a Beanie Baby. I'm like, Mom, stop giving them Beanie Babies. I didn't want them as a kid. I don't want them as an adult in my house.
You gotta find a way to get rid of them.
It's so rapid with these products with the kids because my kids are around 5 years old. So like every other weekend or every other week, they got your kids make you feel like you're Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, that's it. That is the best analogy I may have ever heard for this toy search because it's the same level. What a movie, though. That's a great movie.
Classic.
Classic, yes. Yeah.
One of the best. Big Show's
I'm Turbo Man. Yeah, Big Show's an elf.
Yeah. Giant Santa, Big Show.
Yes. I love Sinbad too.
Yes.
As the mailman. I got a bomb. He's like, it goes off. He's like, people are sick.
And somehow Sinbad is not the biggest villain. It's Phil Hartman.
Right. Right. And his hot chocolate and his reindeer. Get out of here.
Trying to make a move on Arnold's wife. Get out of here.
So good. I like when he's yelling at his kid with his eggnog. He spills it on him. We got to go.
How are you feeling about the Chiefs this season?
I feel good, man. Last year was a funky year. I felt like we survived. You know, it was like 8 games we won in the last 30 seconds.
Maybe it was a field goal, but we went ahead on like an insane touchdown by Bryce. I was like, oh my God, we might actually win an important game. And then, no, of course not. Mahomes has to do the voodoo magic Mahomes that you guys were doing last year.
We, you know, I hope we can afford to pay the refs all season long again. you know, I'm just going to keep feeding that narrative.
It's just
you might as well. I mean, people are going to say it anyway. So what are you going to say in response? You might as well just play into it of like, yeah, sure, we pay the refs.
Exactly. Exactly. But I think this year our O-line is going to step up a little bit. I think Travis is in a different mindset this year. I think, you know, talking to him, he's in incredible shape. He's down like 30 pounds or 20 pounds, whatever it is. Feels good, feels healthy. I think him getting back to being a playmaker frees up our receivers. You know, last year I think that we just kind of struggled in that second tier level, that O-line tight end a little bit. And I think we got that locked down. Our defense is going to be stellar as always. And they saved our ass a few times last year. So I think we're going to be good. I think we're going to be in contention to go back to the Super Bowl.
So the ref. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask with the Super Bowl in mind, who you think is like the biggest threat in the AFC to the Chiefs?
Oh, man. Buffalo. I think Buffalo is a massive threat to everybody this year, and Josh Allen is unbelievable and is due, and I feel bad for him because he keeps getting beat by us. So we'll see.
People asking how many fantasy football leagues you're in.
Just one.
Okay.
Only one. I'm not good at fantasy football. I'm also not good at beating or betting on football because I'm like, I'm put too much feeling into it. I'm going,
I can't do that.
You know what?
Yeah.
Mahomes took that L this week. He's fired up this week. We're going to do good and I'll bet. And then it's like, no, he still played like shit or whoever. And it's like, dude, come on. But yeah, I'm worried about Buffalo. I think that's always our biggest threat in the AFC East. But, you know, AFC West, Vegas, for some reason, always just gives us trouble. And they're not that good.
Not so, Denver? Denver looking.
No, I don't care about Denver. Oh, okay. Screw Denver. You know, Baltimore's always very good. Yep. Cincinnati's always very good. That's kind of where my brain's at.
See, when you're betting, you got to do the emotional hedging. This is what I did during the – I'm a big basketball fan and Thunder fan. We won the title this year. And so going back to the refs thing, everybody's like, oh, they pay the refs and Shea gets all the fouls. I was like, okay, so.
Yeah, whatever.
He's going to keep scoring.
Don't you wish you had the money to pay the refs?
Yeah. Really. Yeah, they're definitely rigging the game for Oklahoma City.
You're right.
All teams. But see, I was emotionally hedging the whole time. I'm like, all right, yeah, let me bet $50 on us losing this game. So if we win, great, we won. We're winning a title. And if we do lose, cool, I'm up $50. I feel good about that. So that's the way to do it right there. We're either winning a title or I'm winning money. Either way, like I'm in a good spot.
I like that philosophy. Yeah, I may have lost $50, but
I'm happy. You know what I mean?
But we won.
We won. My mental health depends a lot on these million-dollar sports athletes.
How many fantasy leagues are you guys in?
I'm only in one. I can't do more than one because it's too much for me.
It is. And also, like, do you do like a lottery pick or do you do how does your guys' draft work? Do you pick, like, first round and then continue to pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it bidding? Have you ever done the bidding one?
I've done bidding, yes.
Yeah, that one's anxiety.
Yeah. The bidding one's tough.
Dude, that's what we do. And ours is our league is weird. We got 10 people in it. And you get two quarterbacks. You can play two quarterbacks. And so, like, if you have a quarterback go down, you're screwed because everybody has every other quarterback. There's, like, three to choose from. It's awful. But also, our league, you guys do, like, where you do pay an entry fee?
Yeah. Yeah.
So ours is different as there, too, is it's – how much you lose is based on your position.
Oh,
so if you get last place, I got last place last year because I sucked really bad last year. I had a different draft strategy. I was like, I'm going to get all solid mid-level players and everybody's going to contribute. Total disaster. I lost last place. I lost like $900 was my payout.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
The good thing about that is it makes the whole season important. Yeah. So even like, you know, if you get the guy in the league that loses the first five games, six games, they just quit and give up, it's not fun.
Yeah.
Now, the worse you do, the more money you're out. So it's like a tier system.
Yeah.
So you're it makes more you motivated. Play all year. Yes. But it also just sucks when you just watch it go down the drain. Right. There's nothing I can do.
I couldn't do that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to owe like $150 on this fantasy league here. Can't do that.
Yeah, it's rough. Especially when you get, my brother got last the year prior. So we're like, my family's not good at fantasy apparently.
So does the winner get all like everybody's money?
Yes. Not everybody's, but I think the winner's payout's a little over $2,000.
Oh.
Like $2,500. Because like last place I paid out like 936, then the second to last paid out like 600, and then it's like 400, 300, 250, and then first place gets like 2,500, second place gets like 400, and that's the payout.
All right. Nice. That's it. I've never heard of that. I know people do like punishments depending on where you get, like, oh, you gotta drink a bunch of beer or
eat, is that really a punishment though?
Yeah, right.
You know, right?
I mean, I'm not a beer guy, but darn it, I better drink this beer.
Eat some type of like pepper or whatever, or you know, have to do something publicly humiliating. I've seen the punishment leagues before.
Those are good. Some of them are funny. Yeah. It's like Impractical Jokers. You got to go do this ridiculous thing. I like it. I approve.
Yeah, ours are pretty straightforward. It's just what would it be, $10 entry fee SP3, and then the winner gets the entire pot.
How many people are in your league?
12.
Oh, nice. Yeah. There you go. League,
so.
Get it.
Yeah, we're all in different spots, so it's not like we can come together and do our draft like at a bar or anything. So I feel like that's where you do like the punishment leagues and stuff when everybody has a centralized location.
Yeah, we're all over as well. So yeah,
that's a little bit more difficult. All right, we'll ask a little bit of wrestling, I guess.
Yeah, let's just like, damn.
I like the bullshit, so I just...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Come and hang out.
So do we. People get mad at us because we'll spend the first half hour or hour of our show just talking basketball, especially during the season. And it's like, are you guys ever going to talk about wrestling? It's like, no, we're not.
We'll get there. Yeah. Making you wait.
It's fine.
I mean, I'm tempted to just start talking about Fast and Furious because of your background.
Let's fuck it. Okay. All right.
You done. Start it now. This guy is the biggest Fast and Furious mark you will ever meet.
It's the greatest film franchise of all time. It's not a franchise. It's a family.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So, but the original still stands up. I love the first one.
Yes.
I agree with you there. But this man over here, we did a tier list on every Fast and Furious movie.
Okay.
And he put all of them in S tier.
Yeah. Because they're all S tier movies.
I'm good with it.
Even Tokyo Drift?
Yes. Tokyo Drift was dope.
Yeah.
Well, they were driving through houses in the beginning of the movie.
Right. Guy from like Home Improvements in it. Come on now.
Yeah, I like that movie. Yeah, I know Brad.
Yeah.
Brad's in it. His daddy's Mustang or whatever it is.
Got my Charger here as
Let's
well.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, who didn't have a Fast and Furious S car when those movies started coming out? I did. I had an Acura Legend. I was like, yo, it needs neons. It needs wheels. It needs a spoiler. Let's go.
My first car was a 92 Celica. And we were when I was going around with my dad to get it, he's like, oh, do you want this? I don't remember the first one, but he's like, it's this much money. He's like, or we can get the Celica. It's got a spoiler. It's like a Fast and Furious car. It's like, yeah, I want the Fast and Furious car. Sold. I'm in right there.
Bro, I put a janky-ass PlayStation in my car at one point. I had like this little 6-inch screen that was kind of like halfway glued to the dash and somehow rigged up a PlayStation to it just because like the guy's waiting to race and he's playing video games in his car. I was like, yeah, I need that.
You're like, pimp my car. Damn.
Right? That car was a jam. I had red neons under it. I also, you know, the little windshield washer things on the hood? I had neons in there, too. That didn't go over well. I got pulled over a lot for that
one. We just had the giant subs. That's all I put. And my had everyone that had the 14 and 16 in the back.
The JLs. Yeah. Well, you're like, I got, you know, the Rockfords or the JLs. You were in business.
Yeah. You had to have those. Pimp My Ride was a great show.
Exhibit, let's go. Yeah. Putting fish tanks in cars and shit. They're probably boiling in the summer.
I feel like he got in trouble for a lot of that stuff. Didn't someone do like a follow-up of like, there's like just a bunch of lawsuits stemming from this show now?
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. But it was fun to watch.
Exactly. Also,
fantastic show. Our chat is going crazy here. Louis sent a super chat. Bishop, you're now family on this show.
There we go.
Fast and Furious fan.
Let's go.
He's a Barry and busted open right off the bat, talking Fast and Furious. Yeah, you're welcome on the show. So this is what people do or don't know. The link never changes. So literally, anytime if you want to pop on between 10 and noon, just click the link that you were sent. You're more than welcome to join us. The link never changes for this show.
Pop in and go find another way home, pizza boy. Will that win?
That would win.
Which, that's my boy Johnny. Johnny's a buddy of mine who is that character in that movie. And I'm like, man, I wish they would, like, Fast Forest 9, you got to make an appearance back. And you just got to walk on and, like, yell at something, find another way home, and, like, just walk off. And it's like, wait, what? Just with a massive beard and hair, like he's just been walking the earth for the last 15 years.
It's like, if you know, type of thing. People are like, I don't get it. Then everybody, then you got the 10 people who know all the lore. It's like, right.
You and me would be so pumped. Everybody be like, you guys are losers. Fine with us.
Be a whole thread of the Easter egg on Twitter.
That'd be so good.
I do want to ask. We saw John Cena this past weekend use the End of Days. He clearly didn't do it well enough because Logan Paul kicked out. But what were your thoughts when you saw John Cena use the move?
Dude, I mean, it was funny because I wasn't even watching the pay-per-view at the time. I was doing something else in the house, and I just looked at my phone, and it was like, you have like 900 Twitter notifications. I was like, uh-oh, what did I do? Like, I was like, uh-oh, someone hacked my pictures here? Let's see. Then I got on, and I saw that, and everybody's like, oh, he hit in the days. And I was like, what? That is so cool that he did it, and like I had no idea it was happening. And that's John for you. John is gonna pay his respects to you in like the most kind of backhand way, to where you either notice because you're paying attention or you don't notice at all. Like, he's got some funny things, and I won't put them out there, but he did a whole thing where like a thank you to all of his friends, and none of them have noticed yet, and when they do, it'll be epic. He's very good and sneaky with that kind of stuff, and it's fun. And then his interview after, where he's like, you know, I don't get to wrestle all the people that have impacted me or my career, and so this is like my way of saying thank you. So I thought that was really cool because John and I are pretty tight. He's helped me immensely through my entire career with advice and times when you're just frustrated and you're going, I need to like chill out because I'm losing my mind over something. And he'll go, hey, let's go grab dinner. Let's chat about it. And then he'll kind of be like, you're in too deep. You're too close. Back out. Realize this is a job. Realize it's a character. Like, don't let it affect, you know, you right now in this like moment. You can think about things and work creatively, but don't let like those frustrations carry over into your life. Like, learn to separate. And he's very good with that, and a great person to sit and chat with about ideas or bounce things off or structure. Like, I'll still chat with him about the stuff I'm doing now, like MLW, my character work, and what I'm trying to convey to an audience. He always does a good job of helping me break it down. He's like, all right, give it to me in one sentence. So really neat to have him kind of just give me a nod, especially in Paris, where that kind of started my whole babyface run, where they just lost their minds for no reason for me. And I was shocked and awed, and even I'm getting videos from people that were there in Paris from the show. And when he hit it, the crowd was chanting Baron Corbin. And I was like, that's just cool. Like, it makes you feel good.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that experience in Paris and how that was for you. Like, it's, I know that you probably weren't expecting that type of reaction, and kind of like, what was the feedback that you got when you went backstage from those within WWE?
So, I mean, it was insane because I did an interview with a guy named Sturry, who has a YouTube show in Paris, that morning. We were chatting about food because he's a big food guy, wrestling, metal, all of those things. And he's like, hey, man, don't be surprised if some people cheer for you tonight. And I was like, you're full of it, dude. Yeah, right. And then, like, we were just playing around, too. And at that time, I was, like, in between characters and stuff. And he's like, no. He's like, the people of France really respect you for the work you've done, the character work you've done. They think that you've never gotten, you know, what you deserve there. You're underappreciated, all of those things. And then so he's like, they might cheer for you. And I was like, there's no way. And when that terrible Happy Corbin music hit and they lost their minds, I was like, instant chills. I was like, this is the craziest reaction I've ever experienced. And, you know, them chanting my name, and I get in the ring and they're still chanting my name and cheering. And I'm like, I'm in the twilight zone, like blown away. Like, then Rick Boog's music hits and they boom. And I was like, oh no, like this is bad. He gets in the ring and he looks at me and go, I'm sorry. I have no idea. Like, there's nothing I can do right now that's going to change this. And then, you know, we started the match and like, we run a opening spot and he bumps me and they boo. And I was like, oh no, this is so backwards because I'm working as a heel, but they hate him and love me. And I was like, we just got to do it, man. And I start stomping them on the corner and they're losing their minds. And I was like, I'm stomping on going, I'm sorry. And they're like, one more time. I'm like, okay. And like, so then I like fully went into it. And then they changed the finish while we were in the match with like, I don't know, a minute to go. The referee's like, hey, Corbin's up, change the finish. And so I had to call a new finish to Boogs. And then when I beat him and the fans rush the VOM, they rush the rails and they're going crazy. I'm just like teared up my eyes because I was like so shook that this was like the reception. And it was funny too, because I get back through the curtain and all the roster, everybody that's there is standing in gorilla, like wide eye, like what the hell just happened? Bailey even was like, the reaction, they were like back in catering getting some food and they heard the reaction. They're like, whoa, who is that for? And someone's like, I think Corbin. And she's like, no way. And they all ran to the monitor and watched it. And, you know, it went all over social media. It was super. It was just another one of those things, like the Cena hitting the end of days. Like, it was one of those moments that you just can never pay for or predict. And it kind of makes every sacrifice that you've put into what you do worth it. You know, it's like, for example, you know, you guys doing these shows and you know, wanting to create a platform, if whoever it is you look up someday, like, puts a clip of your show on their show and you're going, holy shit, like, this dude listens to us? Like, what? Like, that's kind of what it gives you. Just those days when you guys are grinding, going, oh, we got to do the show, you know, let's get through this one. Like, it makes all of that worth it.
Oh, God, I hope people don't listen to this show. They're some terrible ideas. These idiots out here.
We're all idiots. Come on.
I'm trying to get a pencil to book promotion. So I'll pitch you on this. Okay, Donovan Dijak is in, by the way.
Okay.
The promotion's called Ring of Hallucinations. I want the ROH pencil.
Okay.
So everybody takes, you know, some type of hallucinogen.
I like it.
The wrestlers, the fans, they got baggies underneath their chairs and everything. Okay. And the promotion is basically built around drugs and money. Not really wrestling, because I'm not. You know,
so it's the 80s. It's the 80s all over again?
Yeah. Okay. There's some wrestling, but you know, not too much going on in there.
We won't remember, but it will
right,
be good.
Right, right. So that's my idea for a promotion, is Ring of Hallucinations. I've pitched a bunch of different ideas and storylines on the show. I can't even like rehash a lot of them, because there's just so many that I've had. One, the most recent one is a blindfold match, but the crowd is blindfolded, so they're only reacting to sound. You know, what's going, yeah, exactly. To the sound.
But they're also on hallucinogens.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is gonna get awesome.
Yeah.
have you ever watched Blue Mountain State?
Yes.
I've seen a few episodes.
There's an episode called The Drug Olympics where they all take a random drug.
I think I've seen that one.
That's the way this, instead of a battle royal, it's like the battle royal of drugs. You don't know which ones you're getting. You could have a full on battle royal, and dudes are in there seeing bunnies, and some dudes are in there like hopped up on meth. Like, it could get, this could get next level.
And it could be like the Royal Rumble, where it's like a countdown for the next person. And then immediately after that person comes in, there's another countdown to decide what drug they do.
Ooh, you could do audience polls.
It could be like Taboo Tuesday, but for drugs.
There you go.
We've got
ideas. Seems and, dangerously successful.
And murder. I'm a big fan of murder as well. You know,
horror movie. Okay.
Yeah, we need people just dying.
I like it. So
be fine.
The ropes could be like electrified to like a serious level.
Oh, I see. I had an idea for Cross. Said he would be fine with like killing off his character at SummerSlam. I was like, yeah, sure. He can kill off his character and come back. He wears like a mask, but then he's basically like a jigsaw type character. He has people in his cross chamber. We call it the Crossfire, and there's also people in the background playing Crossfire. Remember that game?
Oh, that's a great game.
Yeah, so that's like a little Easter egg that we're throwing in there as well. But he just keeps people in his crossfire chamber. You know, it's like, oh, if you want to survive, like you got to cut off his arm and then we'll let you out type of thing. So
there's another movie I kind of like that. Is it Truth or Dare?
Yes.
Seen that movie where they're you got to stab him in the leg. I'd be like, cheat. Okay, next question.
Wait, no problem.
Yeah, so
No, shut up.
A lot of arson. Yeah, we've got ideas here. I don't know if they're good, but we've got ideas.
Arson would make wrestling very interesting. I mean, it's, you know, Inferno match, but real.
Yeah, I got to bring that back.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a good plan.
My favorite match of all time is the Doomsday Cage match with the Alliance to End Hulkamania against Hogan and Savage. It's one of the greatest matches.
That was a three-tier cage, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Poor Arn Anderson.
We rewatched it the other day. Yes. Arn Anderson wearing a full-on sweatsuit and just trying not to step in the wrong spot because it's only cage mesh under their feet.
Yeah, that's not good.
But still,
we could, you know, you could basically add, what's the show where they all play like the games and die?
Squid Games?
Squid Games, hybrid wrestling. Like, the ring could have holes in it in certain places that there's like punji sticks below or a shark tank or other things that just will be really bad bear traps under the, like, so if you're like wrestling and you like run and, you know, give someone a tackle and you step to your right and all of a sudden you fall through the ring and a spike is now sticking out of you.
Have you seen Money Plane with Cope?
No.
Okay. That's one for the fans to watch. Money Plane. You can bet on a man fucking an alligator in that movie. But it's a plane where like gambling goes on, but they gamble on literally things like men fucking alligators or, you know, an alligator eating somebody or whatever. Everyone should watch Money Plane.
I'm going to watch it.
These are, must take some ideas from this as well. We're off the rails as always. But our pal Volov says, how into reality TV are you? We got to know if you're full ITW. We're big reality television fans.
Like what? Give me some examples of some reality TV that we are watching.
Big fans of The Challenge, myself and SP3. 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind. A lot of like the trash.
You're a 90 Day fan?
I had it on in the hotel the other day and I'm like, these people are insane and I love
it. Yes.
So here's my guilty reality TV show pleasure is Below Deck.
That's a good one. Yes. I was a big fan of Below Deck. The
shit show of like, but also too, it interests me because I'm like, dude, if I was 20, 21, 22 and didn't know what I want to do with my life, I'm going to go work on a charter ship like that because you're going to make $1,200 cash, $2,000 in cash a week in tips plus your pay. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're just in Ibiza, so go have fun tonight. And it always ends up being a shit show, and somebody gets in a fight, and somebody's getting down with somebody else in the jacuzzi, and then the captain finds out, and he's like, yo, did you clean the jacuzzi? And there's all kinds of stuff there. And the chefs are like, vegans? What? No, you're eating idiots.
They're amazing. The chefs are insane.
Dude.
They're amazing, but they are absolutely insane.
They're all nuts.
On that show. It's great.
That reminds me, because you're talking about ships, I watched the Poop Cruise documentary on Netflix. Did you see it? Oh, my God. Me and my missus were watching that with our jaws on the floor. Dude.
And we like cruises. And I was like, yo, if this happens, I'm calling a helicopter to come get me somewhere. I'm not swimming around in shit for 4 more days. That was insane.
Yeah.
They got like mattresses on the deck and stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah, they were creating like tents on the cruise deck.
Wait, bangles. Look at this.
What's going on? How did me, a Bengals fan in early September, end up here up in my office with a starter jacket on And
who still has a starter jacket? That's the question.
Me. They actually sent me two, and I'm just like putting it in my attic for 20 years. Yeah. They accidentally sent me one, and then I'm going to resell it for like three times as much. But
I like it. I like it. I think mine had like firework burns in it.
I got a gift for you. Look at this. Look at this beauty. Ooh, right.
Toilet paper.
Look at that. Hey. Hey. Let's calm that down real quick.
Listen, how is Burrows ranked higher on the list than Mahomes?
Because he's a better quarterback now.
In what world?
He's not a better winner. I can admit that. The Chiefs are winners, but he is a better quarterback.
In what way?
Did you watch last year?
Yeah, he did not have a great year.
Oh, he had a great year.
Was it the year prior when he got paid $1 billion and then was hurt for 4 weeks?
He got hurt 2 years ago. But yeah, then our backup led the league in completion percentage. I'm just saying.
Mahomes with an injured ankle went and won a Super Bowl. Yours rode the pine.
That was a psyop. That was fake. That wasn't
real. Might have been. I'm not going to deny it. We've already talked about how we pay the refs. I'm good with it.
I mean, yeah. Last year, listen, Mahomes is washed up. It's okay.
You've hit your head today.
Up.
He's cooked. He's done.
What?
Sean admittedly has had some concussions. So.
Exactly.
I had two. Okay.
That's still some.
It was like 10 years ago, though. It doesn't count.
Now you're feeling the effects now.
Yeah. Your quarterback exactly.
At this moment.
Who's the Chiefs' backup? Is it still Carson Wentz? I don't think so.
No, we let him go, which he just went somewhere.
I think he's in New York.
I think you might be right.
Carson Wentz is Minnesota. Minnesota. Minnesota.
Yeah.
You got Gardner Minshew as the backup. It's honestly a really good backup.
Oh, hell yeah. Minshew Magic?
I've never heard of him, so.
You've never heard of Gardner Minshew?
No, I just know Mahomes because he wins. Just look at backups.
Minshew played for Vegas and Jacksonville, I believe, are his two main stops.
Great head of hair on this guy, though.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible.
I'm jealous.
It's honestly incredible.
I'm jealous. I don't have any hair there.
So let me get your thoughts on this. And this is a pitch I heard within a major wrestling company that I thought was actually pretty good.
Okay.
A hair versus hairless match where one person would be required to grow out what hair they could if they lost.
We saw that with Sad Corbin.
I know. You were a trailblazer.
It looked terrible.
Listen, I disagree. I think that more people need to bring back the earthquake, the John Tenta. That's when haircuts were men. That's
for sure. Think about all the dudes in that generation that had like just, yeah, dude, I'm bald up top, but everything else is growing.
I have long said that when I was a little kid, I saw a big fat man with a skullet. I believed they could fight because of earthquake.
You're probably right, though.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a fair assessment. But, I mean, you had think about all the people. You had Earthquake, you had Hogan, you had Michael Hayes. Michael Hayes was flirting with that line for a long time. Michael Hayes got nothing up top. And that's why he wears hats because the hair is just, he's like, yeah, I got a full head of hair under here. Just don't look under my hat.
My favorite part of Unreal is when they were hugging him and his hat kept falling off. It was hilarious.
He's very self-conscious about that.
No longer interrupt this interview. I just will guarantee the Cincinnati Bengals will not lose to the Kansas City Chiefs in the regular season this year.
Thanks. So what we need to bet then? Oh, he just left.
He's still there.
We can bet. I can make a bet that the Cincinnati Bengals won't lose to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Are they playing the Chiefs in the regular
season?
Shut up,
Jeremy.
Okay.
Shut up.
I figured that was what the hell, Jeremy.
We don't. Oh, well, because we're not seeing you guys in the regular season. No, we're not. We won't see you in the playoffs either, so it's okay. Yeah, he's gone now.
Best way to close that off. I wanted to ask because
you should just bury him. Oh, he actually did leave. Yeah, he did leave. I know you blocked him at one point, and then he forced you to unblock him during an interview.
No, I went on a blocking rampage with a lot of people, and it wasn't always shots at me too, so I don't know why he got blocked. It always pissed me off too, like when people would just either do spoilers and I'd block them because I'm like, dude, you're a dick. And then if people just weird comments of like, you know, and this wasn't him by any means, but like when people are like, oh, fire this guy and hire, I hate those. Like, bro, this is people's livelihood. It's not even funny as a joke to me. So people got blocked when it wasn't always even just a direct comment to me. So he might have got caught up in something, was saying something about somebody. And I was like, yeah, fuck this guy. I'm out.
It was probably spoilers. Yeah, Sean's always very positive when it comes to professional wrestling. And he definitely doesn't wish anybody to lose their job.
No, that's what I'm saying. And when we met and chatted, and it's super fun and always fun to talk to. And he was like, I'm blocked. Yeah. Well, especially his taste in football. I'll cheer for Carolina before I cheer for Cincinnati.
There we go. That. We need all the help we can get on the field and off, honestly. Do you still got any reps in you? Can you give us some defensive reps potentially? Because we need all the help we can get on defense.
I missed something there. It disconnected me for like a beat. I didn't hear you.
Oh, do you have any football reps left in you? Because we need, especially if you can give us anything on defense.
No, not a defense. Okay. No, I could step in at left guard, maybe a little center.
Yeah, our
maybe now at this weight, tight end.
Okay. We need a tight end. Our receiving core is looking better, but yeah, we need a tight end. That would be helpful.
What was your guys' first round pick this year?
I can't pronounce his name too well, but the kid out of Florida State.
The wide receiver. He's a stud.
Yeah, he looks good. So our receiving core looks better, but everything else looks terrible.
I'm excited for ours. Is still all over the place because we got Juju, Hollywood, Xavier, but it's like, I wanted to get somebody who was just going to be a nasty new rookie that could really shake things up. But like our tight end crew with Travis and Noah Gray, Jared, I mean, our tight ends are studs. I think our O-line is going to be good this year after that devastating beating we took from the Eagles. So, you know, what can you do?
I'm from Ohio, unfortunately. Can you play quarterback for the Browns? They have 15 of them, but
they do. That was the worst drafting I've ever seen. I mean, they're known to really screw up their draft with quarterbacks, but this year was levels above. How do you take a third rounder and a fifth rounder?
Browns. What are you gonna do? They traded out of the two pick. They traded out of the two pick too.
I know, dude. Like what?
Basically, traded Travis Hunter.
What is Dallas doing right now?
What has Dallas been doing for years? I've been watching the documentary on Netflix, the Jerry Jones and Cowboys documentary. Yeah, it's good. That's a team I grew up like rooting for and watching. My dad was a Redskins fan, Commanders, sorry, and I didn't want to root for the same team as him, so I was like, I'm just gonna like the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and then I got older, Carolina got a team, so I was like, all right, I'll actually root for my hometown.
I've always been a Chiefs fan, just growing up in Kansas City and going to the tailgates and barbecues. Even when we didn't have tickets to the game, you'd go and tailgate. But then always my second tier team was Dallas because I liked Emmitt Smith. And I like, you know, it's like Neon Deion, whose, you know, son is now with the Browns. But it's like their team, Aikman, they were so good.
Yeah.
And they were fun.
90s was a simple time. Like there was a national wide team for basically all the three major sports. Like it was Cowboys in the NFL, it was Bulls in the NBA, and it was Yankees in the MLB. That's what it was all about. Then you meet someone who's a fan of those sports, 9 times out of 10, they're usually a fan of those teams.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. And it's like you said, it was just simple. These are the teams nationwide. Everybody likes them. There's a 4-part series Netflix maybe for the Chiefs if you need something else to watch.
The Kingdom,
it's like the Kingdom, the history. I haven't started it yet. I'm gonna watch it on my flight tomorrow to Toronto. I'm excited for that. It was good.
Are you gonna be in Toronto by the time the game starts tomorrow?
I hope so. I'm doing MLP Friday. CMLL affiliate show on Sunday in Monterey, Mexico. And then, obviously, next Friday, MLW in Dallas, which is going to be sick.
So you're going to miss the game tomorrow? Or are you going to?
I will be watching on my phone, I'm sure. Okay. Until I walk out the curtain, I'm going to be like, that's my music. I got 30 seconds. Okay, set it down, run. Kick the shit out of somebody and
you're gonna have to get the match order based on where the game is and everything. Like, can I go on first? Get this over with.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Oh,
really?
It's funny too. Like sometimes in WWE, we'd be having the match, and I'd be telling the producers, I'd be like looking at the table, like if it's a live event, I'm going like this, and they're going, "Oh, he wants the score to the Chiefs game." Like while I'm in the match, the ref is like relaying the score, and they would always just mess with me. They'd be like, "Chiefs are losing," and I'm like, "They're not. Shut up."
Wait, hold on. You were asking for the score in the middle of matches?
Yeah,
I respect it. I respect it. That's what you do.
But they would never give me the truth. There was a show we were in. I want to say Nashville. It was somewhere in Tennessee, and we had just beaten the Titans to go or in the playoffs or to go to the playoffs. I don't remember what it was, but it was like a really close game, and we won like an hour before my match, and I had my Chiefs jersey with me, and I wore it out on the entrance. It was so good. They were so mad. Things in life are easy.
Yeah, I remember you wearing the jersey a couple of times. I feel like it was one during the playoffs, but didn't you also, and again, my memory is not good, but when Taylor was showing up to the games and everything, didn't you like wear the jersey then or do like the dance that she did? I feel like you had some type of fun when she started showing up.
I don't, maybe. I don't know. I drink a lot of whiskey sometimes and things get weird. Very possible.
I just remember writing a bunch of articles about it.
Well, there was a picture of me and Taylor, and I had
I definitely wrote that
on too. And
yeah,
it was like it's pretty funny. So yeah, I like to do dumb. I just like irritating people. So I said, if you want to fight Dave, I'll let it happen. I won't step in.
There you go. See, I'm in New York, so I'm probably the closest one who can get to
you. Are.
So you can.
I'll text you and be like, "Hey, me and Dave are going to dinner right over here."
Just jump him.
Just show up and start attacking him. He'll just think it's a crazy person in New York. He'll think nothing of it.
I come in as like a waiter, and then I take on this like a 24/7 title match. Like I just.
We're gold. Shove some drugs in his mouth and have one of the matches of drugs.
Have the hallucinated match right there.
Eat these mushrooms, Dave. I'm with it.
I love it.
I'll let it happen.
We're working out.
I'll video it.
Very well.
I'll see you and he'll be like, "What are you winking at?" "Nothing, Dave."
Why's your camera out?
You're great today, buddy. I'm just videoing you.
It's content. It's content. You guys
are pouring me champagne. What's the big deal?
Oh no, we've gotten wrestlers in trouble before for cosbying people. We don't need to do that here on the show.
Whoa.
We got Macklin in trouble for the Cosby bit, so we don't need to get Corbin in trouble for this as well.
Well, this is different. We're fighting. We're not doing other things. Totally different ball game.
Macklin almost fell into a fire because he got Cosby'd by Eric Young on TNA. Yes. So, we unfortunately got him in trouble for that. He's still pals with us, allegedly. We'll see. Yeah.
At least he's still pals.
I keep pausing every once in a while, like every 10 minutes.
Oh, it freezes?
Like, yeah, it just gives me a little pause. But my internet's good. I'm plugged in. I
was saying, you're fine on our end.
Yeah, you're good.
So I heard Macklin almost fell in a fire, and then it was like.
Yeah, it was a TNA segment. Eric Young roofied him, and he almost fell into the fire. And then he was on our show, and we're like, "Why'd you let Eric Young Cosby you?" And, Macklin's a good dude. He was joking about it. He had a good sense of humor about it, but then people saw the clip.
We did the weird one, too, where it was like Montez got drugged.
Yeah.
And then he Batista'd the rope and passed out, and everybody's like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah, I never understood that one.
I don't think anybody did. There were a lot of things we just didn't. Where'd I get dog food to pour on Roman?
I wanted
to ask you three. Go ahead.
Yes, you brought it up because you knew I wanted to ask about that. Like, whose idea was that?
I'll give you one chance to guess.
It was definitely a Vince idea.
I want to know how he pitched it to you.
This is not a pitching thing. This is a, "Hey, this is what we're doing." And you go, "Yes, sir." The funniest part of the whole thing was it was legit dog food. It smelled I was trying not to vomit while I was putting it on him. If you watch the clip, I'm like making this weird face because it smelled so bad. Here's the best part of it all that nobody was privy to is – in the back, Vince wanted to see how it poured out of the cans.
Yeah.
And so they just took an extra and had him stand there. And they just opened a can and poured it on the extra's head to see what it would look like. Dude, David LaGreca, by the way, just text me, "You and In the Weeds are dead to me." I can't wait to do the next show with him. He goes crazy, and I love getting him wound up. This is amazing. This makes my day.
In the weeds, I went on that show, much better.
He's in Poland somewhere. He might be back from Poland. He's been on vacation for 10 days. So the fact that he's getting this right now makes me so happy.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. He knows. He allegedly knows about our show. So
he does. He does. Allegedly is my favorite. He's the best. Like, honestly, like, so fun and even more fun to get riled up.
Yes.
I love it. And okay. Now we know he's a fan of your show. He's watching currently right now.
Also unfortunate. Also unfortunate. But all right, so hold on. This extra got dog food poured on him. Did the extra get paid more? Do you know? Like,
I really, really hope so.
I hope so as well.
That's like, you know, extras probably make $500 for the show. And it's like, oh, what'd you do at work today, honey? Oh, they poured dog food on me. Wait, what?
Like, I always tell this story. I was at a Christmas party and you're talking to people and they're all introducing themselves like, oh, I'm a scientist. I work in this lab. And oh, I'm a doctor and I do this. I'm a hedge fund manager and everything. Like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I get paid to cover wrestling, which is fine. Like, you know, it's a great job to have. But I'm like, yeah, the last bit is I just watched this dude pour dog food on another guy. And that's what I had to cover. And they're like, oh, that's interesting. I was like, this is what I do for a living is cover a man pouring dog food on another man.
Yeah. So brutal. That was insane.
Yeah. Oh, what a time. Yeah, that was. What a time.
It was. Oh, and then I got it back. It wasn't fun to do that either. And I also, the other thing, they handcuffed me to the post when we did that. And so they're pouring dog food on me and everything and chili and whatever else they had in that bowl. And I was hanging, but I was in the handcuffs, but I couldn't get my feet under me because it was so slippery. So I was literally hanging by the handcuffs. It was one of the most painful things I've ever experienced because it felt like it was getting ready to cut my thumbs off. And so I'm like, you watch movies and stuff. We talk about Fast and Furious with Vin Diesel, but XXX when he's hanging by the handcuffs.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, I'm done. Shoot me, please. Like, that's the worst. It was so, I was like screaming at the stage people to help me because like the show went off the air and then everybody's like starting to move and I'm like, somebody pick me up. My thumbs are coming off. Like it's going to be a thing where I slide through. I'm just going to have skeleton hands. Like my skin's going to be gone.
Oh man.
Because it's all in the handcuffs.
Yeah.
Brutal.
If you're asking, was the Royal Rumble porta potty a shoot porta potty?
Brutal, brutal, brutal. We've talked Chiefs. We've talked. What do we got?
We have somebody in our chat asking, was the Royal Rumble porta potty a shoot porta potty?
Yes, it was. But thank God it wasn't filled with blue stuff, which it originally was. Yeah. But because they didn't want it spilling all over the floor in the arena with people walking and having cleaned up, they took it out. But like, because the original plan was like for me to climb out of it being covered in that blue water. And it would have been hilarious. Like, and Hunter was pitching it to me. I was like, this is crazy. He's like, hey, I did pig slop matches. I go, ah, fair point. Fair point. You got me there, bud. But then the venue wouldn't let them do it. And they also wouldn't let us. I wanted to bang on a trash can there to like, because they just went through the whole scandal Houston did of banging on the trash can for signals. Yeah. And I wanted to do it in a match. And they're like, absolutely not. Again, see, I like just starting fires. That's what I like to do.
That match, the street fight, no false count anywhere, whatever it was, whatever the gimmick was called, I feel like it's actually very underrated. And I always remember the match because it looked like you and Roman were just having so much fun during that.
We were.
Roman had to, you know, take time off with everything, and he came back, and he was thankfully very good. But like, it looked like that was like the first time since returning that like he was just out there and having fun in the environment and having fun with everything because he'd been doing the stuff with you, for
a while.
But it looked like you guys were just having a good time
out there. We really were, and because we got to, I mean, when you get to go out and kind of be in the crowd and do all that, it makes it a lot of fun because you're really feeding. Like when you're in the ring, you're feeding off energy, but sometimes when you're in those huge venues, like the sound is weird because it goes up instead of coming back down or on top of you. So when you're out with the crowd and like, you know, getting put through the tables and having Ziggler and Bobby Roode helping me, and then, you know, getting speared on top of the dugout in front of all those people, like the match was awesome. And then getting to come back and have to do the Rumble later in the night after, like, that was like a 25-30 minute match with Roman to start the show. And I was also, I just gotten a new contract right before that show started. So I was in a super good mood and super happy. And so like everything for that match, stars aligned. It was so fun. And there's a lot of matches like that, I think, that are underrated that people don't appreciate, you know. There's doing the stuff on Raw right now with Becky joining the Vision and Seth and Becky kind of being back together. And the first time they did it, it didn't work great because Becky kept saving Seth. And it's like, that's not how you want this thing to go. But like the match that was me and Seth, me and Lacey versus Becky and Seth, like that was a super underrated. I thought that match was awesome when they did the big table spot. That match was great. And everybody's like, well, the people there weren't a big crowd. Well, it was supposed to just be a live event. And then they switched it to a pay-per-view. So yeah, it's not a PLE crowd. It was supposed to be a live event. So there was like 6,000 people there, which is still a ton of people. But I loved that match. I love that match with Roman in the dugout and everything. So fun.
Do you still get asked about the end of days on Becky?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's funny, too, how many people, when she slapped Punk on Monday, how many people were like, dude, just call Corbin. I even sent Punk a message. I was like, hey, if you need me. And I sent him the gif of me giving her the end of days. And he just laughed at it.
Yeah, so. We had people saying Corbin wouldn't have taken that shit. Like, come on, what's Punk doing? Why is he just standing there?
Take a nap, Becky. She's so good. So fun. Well, so fun.
When she references Sports Illustrated, you know, she says, I'm the greatest wrestler of all time. It's not just me saying it. Sports Illustrated says it. The person, I'm pointing the right way here. There we go. That's Sports Illustrated. He's the one who wrote the list that put Becky at the top of the list. So
I wouldn't argue that. Hell yeah, as you should. She's incredible what she's done, what she's accomplished.
Now I'm a part of WWE lore, so I'm happy. I'm happy. I made the right choice.
Let's go. Let's go.
One of the things you're known for in WWE lore, in my opinion, you have the greatest two-month character in the history of that company.
Sad Corbin.
Yes, Sad Corbin is some of the most entertaining television, especially in that era of WWE that I had seen. So I want to know, like, what went into everything, like the different skits that you were doing, and were you kind of frustrated with it being cut so short? Did you want it to go on longer, and like everything that went with that?
Yeah, originally when Vince told me what we were doing, because he wanted to, you know, get me out of the King stuff, and he had the Happy Corbin thing in his mind before we even took the crown off with Shinsuke and Boogs, and he was like, you know, we're gonna take you, and you're just gonna be dejected for like 2 or 3 weeks. It's gonna be a two or three week thing. He's like, so I don't want you to cut your hair, I don't want you to cut your beard, you know, you're just gonna kind of be down in the dumps. You just lost your crown and everything. And then we did the first week of TV, and it was good, and he really liked it. And then I did a random – it was like the Raw talk or whatever it was. And I was like – I asked – God, who did I do that interview with? Kayla. I did it with Kayla Braxton, and I was like, I'm just going to lay here on the floor, and I'm just going to freestyle. And when I cut that promo about having to, like, bang the can on the street to get it open and the stain on my shirt – like that sparked it into the next level, because then it was like, oh no, we're going to take this a little bit longer now. And like we did the TikTok where they wouldn't let me in the arena. And then like, so those little social things that were kind of my idea and my pitches where I'm just freestyling got that character like some serious entertainment points, and people really grabbed onto it to where people were trying to hand me money when I was doing my entrance or when I was leaving. I had a lady in Houston try to shove a $20 bill in my window. I'm like, lady, I'm not actually poor. This is a character. And then also like we're applying to, my daughters go to private school, and we're like going to the private school to do visits, and I look horrible, and I'd always apologize. I'm like, listen, I understand this is not a good thing right now. Like the beard is terrible. I look Amish. With my bald top and side grows out. But I wanted Vegas, when I stole the briefcase from Big E, me and Kevin Owens had a pitch that took us all the way to Mania. And I was like, that's what we got to do. So Vegas needs to be a hope spot. I need to have those videos where I'm back in the money and then cut to I lost it all back, like everybody does in Vegas, and like be worse off than when I got there. Like I wanted it to be like they haven't seen Corbin in 2 weeks, and like there's little clips of me like in a homeless encampment in Vegas. Like I would have thought that would have been hysterical. I was like trying to take it as far as I could go because people were having fun with it, but it was turning me babyface, and Vince did not want me to be a babyface. I think if we had taken it, because Kevin and I talked about winning the tag titles and, you know, him trying to pull me out of the dumps, like, because we cut that promo with Shotzi where she shot me in the jewels with her tank. And it was going to kind of be like he was pulling me, and like I was like, we had a pitch where I basically take the bullet for him in a match because the Usos, I think, were the tag champs. I was like, let me like dive in the way and get super kicked, and I have to go to the hospital and I'm in a neck brace and all this stuff. Like, let's go super over the top with it. And then him and I could win the tag titles at Mania, but then I turn on him. And like I was like, that'll make me the biggest heel ever. But Vince was like, you won't make it there as a heel. Like, I don't know. He just did not want me as a babyface at that point. And so he turned me at Vegas. But I wish we would have gotten another 6 months out of it. Do you imagine how shitty I would have looked? Like, legit. This terrible mustache would have been like hanging over my lips, and my Amish beard would have been just brilliant. And then I would have had legit Hogan. Like, it would have grown out to like here, but nothing on top or the front. It would have been earthquake. It would have been earthquake's hair, without a doubt.
Oh, I'm sad we didn't get this.
It would have been so good.
I understand that he doesn't want to turn you babyface. He didn't want you to get a babyface. But like, if anybody makes it work, one, you're very good at that. And Kevin is like, that's the guy to make everything work.
Kevin is one of the best there is. And it would have been so fun because Kevin could have garnered the sympathy for me.
Yeah.
And it would have been just gold.
Oh, that's very sad that.
What could have been? Yeah. What could have been? I'm just glad that it lasted as long as it did, because originally it was only supposed to be 2 weeks to 3 weeks. And, you know, we got 3 months out of it roughly. And then it went to Happy Corbin.
Are you so
enthusiastic about that?
We can talk about Happy.
It was too, like, I remember going to the show and they're like, all right, you can shave. You're going to, you know, everything. And then, they're like, we want you to practice your entrance. Like, him. And I was like, what the fuck is this music that's playing? And they're like, that's your music. And I was like, no, it's not. That's not my music. And they're like, yes, it is. And I was like, I cannot come out to this. I felt like Mojo Rawley in Vegas. Like, I was like, what? No. And then, they'd like talk me off the cliff. Cause I was like, I'm putting my foot down. Like, I cannot do this. And they're like, hey, and like it was funny because it was pitched to me. I think it was by Hunter, or maybe it was Hunter talking about, like, do you think Shawn Michaels loved his music day one, and now it turned into one of the most iconic music intros there is? And I go, totally different, bro. Like,
yeah, that's not a good example.
I get what you're trying to say and trying to make me feel better. Not the same thing. That was rough.
Who came up with the hat? The hat is like one of the most signature items to that character, the Happy Corbin
guy. Vince. That was Vince. Vince wanted the hat and like a pencil thin mustache for some reason, which he's rocking now. But I like those fedoras. I married a Spanish woman. I live in Tampa. I've got a few of them anyway to wear to the beach. And he's like, I see you in like a fedora. I go, done. That I got. And then too, I was like, hey, Vince, if we're going to do this rich guy thing, I was like, I got to show up like Albert Del Rio style in cars. And he's like, yeah, like, great idea. And so they pitched him like Rolls Royce. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And they ordered one. And he's like, and it got there. And I think I did it one day. And he's like, no. He's like, Rolls Royce doesn't mean you're rich. And I was like, I don't know who you're talking to. Like, in my world, it does. And he's like, I think it's like you need like a Lambo or something of a bright color. And I go, okay, I'm cool with that too. And then they ordered it. And he goes, it's too small for you. You can't have that either. We're just not going to do cars. And I was like, okay, there that goes. Like, that would have been cool. I would at least felt cool to my, I'd have different music playing in the car as I drive it into the arena.
Have that going over the,
Hear my music. Yeah. What can you do, though? What can you do? And then, like, too, like, when we turned, like, the iteration to JBL, it was like we still didn't even change that much. It was still the trash music, and it was still, like, a fedora. And I was like, because they wanted me to still wear the hat, but because he was wearing his cowboy hat, And I was like, how about we just make me badass again? Like, let him turn me badass again and not this suit-wearing idiot. But, you know, we got what we got. I got to do it when I went back to NXT with Braun and do all that and go back to, like, what I really like doing, which is what I'm doing now, like MLW, yeah. You know, that show coming up. I'm getting to do me and my character with the whole nomad thing of traveling the world and trying to, you know, just take titles and kick people's asses.
Yeah, we had Dijak on yesterday, and we're talking about the skyscrapers, big Sid guy here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Sid and Dan Spivey and Mean Mark, the original skyscrapers. Like, when I saw you guys were using that name, I was like, oh, that's good. That fits them.
And again, another thing where I showed up, and it's like, hey, this is what you guys are. And I was like, well, this was a home run. Like, I love this.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not a home run, but that one was. Like, I was like, it's a cool nod to the past, and especially guys we look up to being big guys who are all athletic dudes. It made it very easy to go, hell yeah, let's go.
And how's it been in comparison to, like, your other tag teams with Donovan Dijak? Because, like, low-key, you're kind of a tag team specialist. Like, we were going through the other day preparing for this interview and going through all your partners that you've had in all your time in, like, WWE and now on the independent scene. So how's it been with Dijak?
It's great. I mean, it's cool because we have history. It's not like it was somebody that they just put me with where I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what he does. I don't know how he works. So when they said it was going to be with Dijak, I was like, oh, man, we worked 100 times together. We were around each other. We had the same kind of mentality. I thought it was going to be an instant fit day one. Like, there was a weird one. Like, me and Braun did it, became tag titles. I loved the Wolf Dogs. It was so good, so fun. And then they're like, well, we're going to put you with Apollo. And Apollo is one of my good friends. I love Apollo. And I was like, well, that's a weird transition. Yeah. Like, is it going to work? And the first time we were in the ring together, I was like, done. This is so good. It's so easy. And he was an amazing partner to have. And then, so to continue that run of amazing partners really is nice. And it helps eliminate some stress in life when you're going and putting on these shows. Getting to work with somebody who you enjoy being around makes it that much better.
And we do play a game on this show. It's called Partner Promo Punch in the Face. So I'll give you three names, pick one to partner with, pick one to promo against, and one person to punch in the face. I'm actually going to give you three of the names you just mentioned, all partners or former partners of yours. So we got Apollo Crews, Braun Breaker, and Donovan Dijak.
So I'm going to partner with Dijak right now because we're champs. I'm going to take the easy route on that one. I'm going to promo with Apollo, but he has to do it in his temporary Nigerian character. Just for fun. It's the Kofi Kingston of characters.
Now, how come when he was doing the Nigerian character, I don't know if the overlap, could we not have done the Nigerian prince helping Sad Corbin?
He was the Nigerian prince when he was Sad Corbin. That's true.
That would have been good. Yeah, where was that asshole at when I needed him?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to punch Braun in the face just because I would love to. He drove me nuts sometimes in the best way. And I'll club punch him where he doesn't see it coming. I'll, wham! Take a nap, dummy. Be good. That's my punch promo and partner. And on that note, though, I gotta jump. I got jujitsu at 11:30.
Oh, we appreciate you taking.
Nah, we appreciate it all the time.
Listen, I'm you. If you seriously don't think I'm keeping the link, and I'm just gonna randomly pop in at
some
point,
please do.
And we'll just talk Fast and Furious 1-7.
That sounds like our kind of show.
And people will hate us.
We're gonna redo the tier ranking the next time you show up. We're gonna redo the tier ranking.
Were there other movies in the tiers? Because
no, it's just Fast and Furious.
Anything from
the Fast and Furious universe.
I approve of his rankings. We don't need to redo it.
Yes, thank you.
It'll be the same list. I know you want Tokyo Drift to go in a different category, but it's not.
No.
Number four?
All going, bro.
Nah,
man. Even number two with Tyrese is going in.
See, I have fond memories of that because I saw that in theaters like 5 times. So
yeah,
that'll always be top tier to me.
I might delete the Chiefs Kingdom thing off my iPad and put all the Fast and Furious back on there to watch on the plane tomorrow.
Hell
just
yeah.
For fun.
Nice.
So,
Bishop, we appreciate you joining us. Before you go, make sure to plug everything, let everybody know where they can find you at.
Yeah, I mean, my socials are out there. They're all Bishop Dyer. Well, they're all Tom Pestock now. So on Instagram, on Twitter. I own a coffee company called Open Air Coffee. If you want to get some amazing coffee, hit me up on my Instagram. It is a link to it. You can buy it, drink it, live it, get outside, enjoy the weather. Come Friday, MLW in Dallas, Texas. It's my birthday, so if you want to bring me tequila, I'll drink it. Outside of that, man, rock and roll, watch Fast and Furious movies, and I can't wait to watch you and LaGreca fight.
We got to set him up. We got to jump him in New York. So we'll be in touch about that. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Way over what we were expecting, but we really appreciate it. And you're welcome anytime. Again, the link does not change, so you can pop on anytime you would like.
I will. That'll be fun. And tell Sean the Bengals suck ass. So
we'll do.
We'll let him know.
We'll tell you, boys. We'll see you, boys. Later.